Now, we carry on in our reading of the Gospel of Matthew. This time we come across a second parable, and this is from Matthew 25, all the way from 14 to 13. Now, these are what we call kingdom parables. Two kingdom parables. And this parable is that of the wise and the foolish virgin, which we read earlier, Matthew 25, 1 to 13. Now we call this the parable of the talents, Matthew 25, 14 to 13. Now, what's the link between these two parables? Well, the link is important because this has to do with the return of the Lord Jesus. This is a reality, unfortunately, that few of us have been able to sustain. But once we believe in the Lord Jesus, if we think about him being our Savior, our teacher, and he's gone away for a little while, then our hearts must desire for him to come back for us, or for that matter, for us to return to him. Well, let's look at this particular second kingdom parable, and we are going to look at the people who are featured in this parable, right? So this may seem strange to us about a master entrusting all his wealth to his servants. Actually, this is actually quite a common practice in those days, right? So we read in the Genesis of how there was an Egyptian person who was called Potiphar, and he entrusted Joseph to run his household for him. In fact, he doesn't even know what he has or doesn't have. Everything was entrusted. Well, so this was actually a very old practice. So there is a master or a lord, and he has servants. Now, as we have the story unfolding, well, let's take a look at what we have, right? So the master is going to go away on a long journey, and he gives to each servant some money. Now, the word talent in English has got more than one meaning. When we talk about a person who is talented, we often think that he's very gifted. He has a special aptitude. He has a special skill. He has a special good talent. In this case here, the talent is actually a measurement of money. So when we call a talent of money, we are looking about 6,000 denarii. So then if you ask yourself, what is that we're looking at? So we have a daily rated, he is paid 1 denarius. Now that's interesting to pay 1 denarius versus 6,000 denarii, right? So it's a huge amount of money to be entrusted. When you look at it, if you are a servant in those days, it would take you decades before you come anywhere close to the first 1 talent. Well, here is a servant who is given this amount of money. And watch, the master is not a foolish person. He's very wise. So he gives each one according to his ability. Right? So he knows each servant. This servant can do more. He's entrusted with more. This one can do less, he's entrusted with less. So we've got 3 servants in this story. The first servant, he is given 5 talents. That's 30,000 denarii. That's a lot of money to be entrusted, right? So what did he do? The master didn't say anything, what to do, how to go about doing it, but he thought, well, my master has entrusted me, and you know what? I'm going to make good use of the money given to me. And so he went out to work until the master comes back. When the master came back, he returned to the master 100% profit. So 5 talents, that 5 talents now become 10 talents. So 30,000 denarii becomes 60,000 denarii. That's a lot of money, right? So then the person, servant number 2, has 2 talents. He has less ability, but he's trustworthy and he's able to the level that he has been found to be capable. But he also made 100% profit. So there's no problem. So his 12,000 denarii has now become 24,000 denarii. Right? So then here comes the third servant. Now, in comparison, he's actually the smallest amount given because he's only given one talent, 6,000 denarii. Now, that's a lot of money. If you think about this thing here, someone calculated that if a slave were to work a person laborer would work one day like this, 5 days a week to earn one denarius, it will take him 20 years before he can save aside 6,000 denarii. That's a lot of money, 20 years of hard work. So what did he do? Well, he thought to himself, it's a lot of hard work. And he said, I better not risk anything. So I'm just going to bury his talent in the ground. And then when the master comes back, I can return the money and say, make some excuses and maybe he will forgive me. He will understand. Maybe I can get away. But, you just think about it. While he was waiting for the master to come back, if he doesn't trade with the money, how is he going to live? Who's paying for his food? Who's paying for his upkeep? So let us say that he doesn't do anything and the master takes 5 years to come back. Well, he would not have done anything. So he would have been living off the master's for 5 years and he would have just gotten off. Not only has he not done anything, he's wasted a lot of money of the master. Well, we the kingdom parable, this particular one, all the servants were called back. And the master went to ask them. All right, verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. Right, so here we go. So he who had received 5 talents came. He brought 5 other talents. And he said, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents besides them. Well done, of course, the Lord said. Good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then the second servant came along and he said the same thing. Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, same words, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Now, both of them did well, right? They were faithful, they were trustworthy, they were hardworking, and things turned out very well for them. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, this is what he said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man. You want to reap where you have not sown. You want to gather where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid. What if you reap and then I sow and then it didn't turn out? What if you want to gather what I have scattered but didn't produce anything? So I was afraid. And I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. Right? But his Lord answered and said to him, the Lord knew exactly how to answer this person. First, he knew what he was like. You wicked and lazy servant. Well, that's the first thing. The problem was not that there could have been failure, but the problem is his wickedness. He's contriving all kinds of thoughts and ideas. And he is just wicked. We wicked and lazy servant. You know that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, that's true. Right? But if you cannot meet this standard, well, at least you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And in my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. So let us say that he was away for 5 years or 10 years, depending on how long he was away. The amount of interest that you can earn can be quite substantial. But the point of it all is that he did nothing. So there we go. The Lord said, take the talent from him. Give it to him who has 10 talents. Well, let's take a look at this story and try to ask ourselves what this is all about. What are the lessons we are to learn from this particular parable? This is important, right? And this word has to do with a faith, true faith, that must practice accountability, right? So we cannot simply say, Lord, I have faith in you, and then do nothing. What do you do with your faith? Nothing. What do you do with your time? Nothing. What do you do with whatever you could have done? See, the principle of accountability is something that must be inside the heart of every single believer. Now, that's important. So if a person is an A student, he gets A. That's good. But let us say you cannot be an A student, and at best you are a B student. And you know what? You've done your part and you got a B. That is accountability too, right? So the person who had 5 made 5 talents more. The person who had 2, he was not expected to make 5. To do 5 when he had 2 would be to go beyond what he needed to do. The Lord is not expecting spectacular things like that. Just be accountable. So the principle that the Lord was trying to teach them was this. To everyone who has, in other words, you have been entrusted, right? You have been gifted, you have been blessed with something or other, and what your part is to be accountable, and you are to utilize what you have been entrusted with. And if you are faithful, then you will have more, obviously, and then you will in fact have abundance, right? So when the Lord blesses, he will keep blessing because you have been faithful. And faithfulness will beget more faithfulness, will beget abundance, and this is your special blessing. But let us say a person who does not have, right? He does not actually have faith. Right? He has been given an opportunity to serve. He does not really have the faith that makes him responsible. So what does he do with his time, his energy, all the things he's been blessed with? The reality is nothing. So what is the problem? Right? Does it mean the person has lost his salvation? No. He doesn't understand the salvation. He does not understand who God is. He does not understand salvation whatsoever. So whatever he has will be taken away. This is not a reference to salvation, but this is something we need. So what is it that we have? The relationship that was there is gone. The trust that is given is gone. So what happened to the person? He becomes an unprofitable servant and is cast out into outer darkness. And there will only be weeping and gnashing of teeth, but all those things would be in vain. So once again, we ask ourselves, what are we learning from this kingdom parable? And the answer becomes very obvious. We really, really want to check whether we understand salvation. So when a person is saved, what happens? The first part, the first parable, the parable of the wise and foolish virgins, the challenge is to be ready for the Lord's return. That's basic. The second one is, while we wait for the Lord's return, we must make full use of all the time, energy, effort, blessing that God has entrusted to us. And whatever he has given to us, we are to be responsible. That would be a fantastic expression and display of genuine faith in the Lord. We will say to the Lord, Lord, you have blessed me with this. You've given me understanding. You've given me intelligence. You've given me funds. You've given me a life. This is what I did with my life. Here is my life. This is what I have done. And this I want to say to you, I did all these things for you. Then the Lord will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord, and you will become ruler over many things. The Lord will bless abundantly. Well, that's our challenge, to look at our faith, a faith that will lead us to consider serving the Lord faithfully and well. That is the best thing that we can consider. And so we do two parts. One, to wait upon the Lord diligently and not fall asleep and then, you know, be not ready. Two, to serve diligently, to serve faithfully, to serve fruitfully. And when the Lord returns, we can say we've done our part. Well, we have to ask the Lord for forgiveness first, for if we have failed. But can we start again? Can we start now to live for the Lord, to wait for Him, to serve Him? Answer, yes. Let's do that. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for the challenge to know our faith in the Lord Jesus better. Help us to know it so that we understand the doctrine of the second coming, and we will be ready and waiting for His return with joyous anticipation. Also help us to be responsible and accountable for what you have blessed us with, with time, with energy, with everything that we need to succeed in life. Help us to succeed. Help us to bring glory to You and to lead a faithful life of service, profitability, fruitfulness. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.